This might be called a long time handshake. We have a rather interesting subject that might not be entirely appreciated from the titling, but about 40 or 50 years ago, Dr. Kilner of the Hospital Liverpool, England, began experimenting with means of making visible the magnetic fields of the human body and, by extension, of the planet. Dr. Kilner invented a screen which can be found and described in his book, The Human Atmosphere. And this screen enabled him and any person without any clairvoyant ability to so affect the optic nerve that it was possible to see the magnetic field of the human body. Experiments on this also were done by our group many years ago, in the days of the Church of the People, when Dr. Frederick Finch Strong made researches in this entire area. But the point of importance is that there is a magnetic field, that this field is related to the human being, and from it Kilner was able to diagnose a number of diseases and also distinguish immediately a pregnancy. As time went on, we more or less forgot the invisible atmosphere in which we exist. We should have been reminded of it by television, for over the years at this time there are hundreds of different television channels in many countries, and these are all carefully separated in space, and in the magnetic field each has its channel and its place, and this doesn't happen in a vacuum. We therefore know that there is something around us, something invisible, which has a very definite effect upon our existence and may cause life in various degrees on the planet and destroy life if it is perverted or corrupted. The human being's vital or magnetic field is highly protective. It is an atmosphere, so-called, that surrounds the body about 3 feet from the surface and is radiated from within through certain centers, the heart, the brain, the general nervous system, and certain ductless glands. This magnetic field does not just simply exist there because of a vibration. It is a strong defensive instrument. It was given to the individual to protect himself against outside contaminations. While this magnetic field is active, normal, well adapted to the needs of the moment, the individual will be resistant to nearly all forms of bacteria, will find it possible to be in contact with sickness without becoming sick, and is a great aid and help to certain nurses and physicians who must work in the areas of contagious ailments. This atmosphere is also not only physical, but it carries within itself a series of superphysical factors. For one thing, this atmosphere is susceptible of improvement or decline. Under proper training and thinking, constructive attitudes and so forth, this magnetic field becomes highly protective. If, however, it is corrupted by the individual himself, if he permits negative attitudes to take over, if he misuses the powers and faculties with which he has been endowed, the field begins to deteriorate. And the more it deteriorates, the more likely the individual is to suffer from external conditions. This deterioration is not only physical but magnetic, also physical, etheric, and emotional, and may extend as far as the mental life of the person. The Earth is similarly equipped. It has a strong magnetic field of its own, which at the present time is in a miserable state of disorder. This magnetic field is a kind of repository in which all the mistakes of mankind pile up together, and it forms a mass of disconnected, constricting, and damaging vibratory rates. We know at the present time, and notice, that nature is becoming rebellious. We have not been willing up to the present time to assume that anything that we do can have any effect except to advance progress. But there are many things that we do that not only do not advance progress, but destroy it. And in this case, the magnetic field plays a very important part. At the present time, it is little better than a sewer as far as the planet is concerned. Into it is poured all the corruption with which we are now burdening our national-international relationships. It is now contaminated by almost every thought and action of people. We have no longer any attitude of realization that effects follow causes, or that there is anything in nature that can punish misdeeds. The old theologian laid all this to God and the devil in constant conflict. Now we realize that it is a more simple problem, right and wrong in constant conflict. Right builds up the vibratory rates of the body, results in conduct and action which assists and strengthens the vibratory rates of nature, and helps us all to grow, be happy, helps the flowers to bloom, and all these things. Whereas a contamination of this field can result in everything that is detrimental and destructive. If we go back to the legendary history of the islands of Atlantis, we are reminded that according to the account preserved by Plato, this continent was destroyed because of its corruption. It became a place of iniquities, disloyalties, evils, and excesses, and was wiped out in a single night. This has been considered as a legend, but at the same time, it is obvious to us today that while we hope definitely that we're not going to be wiped out, it is about time for us to begin to clean up our planet and ourselves. This little planet is being burdened with much more difficulty than any honorable planet in the solar system can take care of. We look around us and we see 6 billion people breaking natural laws. Most of them do not even realize they're breaking laws because they do not even know there are any rules in the game. They feel that the individual can have anything he can get by any means, that he can accomplish anything he wants to accomplish, even if it is by way of corruption. Therefore, the planet is becoming burdened with all kinds of mental and emotional corruptions. In addition to this, we have the physical misuse of energies. We see the great city rising up, and a great city is really a source of death. A great city is an area of land in which all natural vibrations are impaired. The ground under our feet is covered with concrete. The atmosphere up to the height of a building is corrupted by the very concrete these buildings are made of. And everything is done without any consideration of nature. There are no rules that we have yet discovered, or at least are willing to admit, by means of which it is possible to correct the increasing delinquencies of mankind. If we can receive radios of television signals on the opposite side of the earth and have programs go for tens of thousands of miles through what we call space, what happens when a nuclear weapon is discharged? Does this explosion, because it is a few thousand miles away, have no effect upon the magnetic field of the body of man or of nature? The real problem we are facing today is the corruption of nature. This corruption is the result of a continual program of self-centeredness, a constant advance of competition in all forms, and complete disregard for common sense. All these things add up to trouble, and we are now having this trouble, and we just can't understand why we have it. The materialist tries to assume that it is a natural accident, that it is inevitable. The theologian insists that it is the vengeance of God upon the unrighteous and the unworthy. But between these two is a very simple fact that is due to the pollution and corruption of the magnetic field of the planet, and by comparison, our own magnetic field. The human magnetic field surrounds the body with a kind of glow or haze extending about 3 feet in all directions beyond the body. It is first described by several ancient Platonists and Gnostics in their writings. The study of the mysterious human beings who live in bubbles. The magnetic field is a kind of auric bubble. It contains the individual, supports him, protects him, and provides his inner life with clothing necessary to its survival. It is the clothing of righteousness, the one-piece garment without a seam. And it is a very important thing for all of us. Now, when we come to our own relationship with the other 6 billion that make up life here on the planet, we have the power to largely control most of the problems that arise in our personal environment if we will make proper use of the defensive mechanisms which nature itself has applied or given us to work with. Now, out of all of this comes the realization that attitudes are the things that affect the magnetic field. And researches that have been carried on show that all emotional distempers, all outbursts of anger, all ulterior motives, everything that is destructive is transformed into a rate of vibration and goes to work on the magnetic field. In other words, the field should be composed of certain magnetic colors, very clear, very bright, and very beautiful. But when a temper fit starts in, those colors change. Little by little, every attitude that we have forms a color pattern in the magnetic field. It also goes further than this into the auric bodies of the higher parts of ourselves, the emotional and mental. These corruptions show that the vibration is sick. Now, at the time of temper fit, the individual probably doesn't think he's sick. He just hasn't got good control of himself. He's disturbed, he's annoyed, and he feels that someone deserves a calling out. Actually, however, everything that destroys the harmony of the magnetic field is bad for the person. It is not something that he can recover from completely just by getting over that spell of dispositional excess. It is something that will return every time he has certain negative attitudes. And most people have a chronic habit pattern by which they can be expected to have certain reactions periodically. These reactions destroy the individual's defenses. They make it difficult for the body to function because the magnetic field and the energies within the body which supply this magnetism are corrupted or disrupted in their proper functions. Almost any kind of excess can do this. One of the most terrible forms of this excess, of course, is narcotics addiction, by means of which we are able to see the complete disintegration of the invisible person just as surely as the visible one. And it is the disintegration of the invisible person that finally ends in the decline and decay of the physical body. All of the actions of the individual are subject to laws of cause and effect. And there is nothing that we do that doesn't cause something. And if anything that causes something will have its effect. And the effect will be equal in every way, in quality and in direction, to the cause which gave it being. Therefore, the individual with a little temper fit can cause a cyclone within himself that may take weeks of careful thought to remedy or restore. Now, this means that there has to be some kind of a basic attitude that is useful. Now, I think we try to realize that the normal attitude of the human being is pleasant. The human being is intended to be a genteel creature, to have a good disposition, to be cooperative and neighborly, to hope for the best, to build for the future, and to in every way possible correct the evils that may lurk within his own disposition. In other words, the individual has to maintain a certain normal placidity or he begins to get sick. Now, this sickness, because it is invisible to the physical eye and not necessarily immediately noticeable in the condition of the health, will go uncorrected and ignored. in fact, in many instances, will be used on purpose to advance a design or pattern that we wish to fulfill. Actually, however, the sickness starts with the first temper fit. And this first temper fit does do damage and leave scars in the magnetic field of the human body. These scars accumulate in the course of time. The individual tendencies to a bad disposition are such that these dispositional peculiarities intensify, become built up, and as in the case of narcotics, we may say that the first dose is not habit-forming, but the habit develops until it is uncontrollable. The same is true with a disposition. It starts with an occasional bad temper and gradually becomes chronic, and as it becomes chronic, we see the defense mechanisms of the magnetic field slowly sag, fade, and disappear. The magnetic field has to be maintained by a well-integrated and well-organized human being. A very large part of sickness, which is attributed to everything from bugs to temperatures, is actually part of the mystery of the magnetic field. The individual's ailments very often begin with disposition and finally settle in the physical body. As the defenses against all kinds of outside situations develop, the power to resist these situations is lowered. Now, it is also true of attitudes, habits which we develop in society. We have certain ways of doing things. These ways are not actually right, but we all use them. And as a result of that, we are gradually creating a disintegration of the magnetic vibration upon which we live, upon which we depend for life. All of this is very important to us today, where we have a world in which the human attitudes are really boiling over, where actually the effects of man's inhumanity to man is being expressed through physical phenomena. All kinds of disasters are now common, and in between the disasters we have wars. And the wars cause the disasters, and the disasters cause the war, and it is a vicious circle. But a war is nothing but a vibratory pattern out of control. It is some misuse that takes over. It is an abuse that becomes the norm. And out of this norm, of which is an abuse, comes a habit, and we say such evils are inevitable. They are not inevitable. They are only inevitable if we remain the same. If we continue to cause them, they will continue. When we cease causing them, they will cease. Now, how are we going to start in solving these for ourselves? Assuming for the moment that we're not going to be able, as individuals, to change the course of world history, we also have the problem that if enough people do unite in a constructive purpose, this forms a powerful field of magnetic availability. The magnetic field is improved by collective cooperation. And collective cooperation also begins with the individual. He must be part of a small but growing group of individuals who realize the seriousness of the present situation and realize that the greatest dangers we face are not on the battlefield, but in the depositories of energy, life, and consciousness which belong both to the planet and to ourselves. The invisible corruption is more dangerous and more fatal than the visible. And the invisible is caused by the visible and reacts upon it and increases it until we are really in a serious situation. So let's see what we can do about this. We'll get to the subject particularly of the morning talk, and that is, how can we become pleasant, harmonious, and reasonably happy people? Now, as we say reasonably happy, because no one is going to be perfectly happy in this world. But we are going to do certain things because they are necessary. If we could watch through one of Mr. Kilner's screens and some other devices of a similar nature, we would see a placid person sitting surrounded by his magnetic field, his etheric double, his emotional body, and his mental body. And it would be he would be seated in a rainbow of full and clear vibratory rates, which the optical system will interpret as color. These can also be interpreted as sounds. but the more likely as colors. As we watch him, he gets mad at someone. The physical changes are slight. He may, the corners of his mouth may go down a little, he clenches teeth or something of this nature, or let forth one of those great oaths by which the individual expresses displeasure. But in the magnetic field, color changes immediately. As he says something that is unpleasant, he destroys a layer of self-defense. If he does it once, the scar tissue may heal up and very little happen. But if it becomes habitual, this becomes a distinct defect, a lasting and corrupting scar in our armament against inharmony and corruption. If the magnetic field is sufficiently disturbed, it affects our memory, it affects our will, our morals, our ethics, and our general practices. Little by little, we become accustomed to the fatigues of civilization. We believe that it is necessary for us to be tired and worried because that is the way the world is at the present time. But we might also note that very many things that we have today, many forms of equipment which we now regard as indispensable, is actually a mistake. It is a false condition, and this false condition is definitely detrimental to the worlds and earths and our own personal magnetic fields. We are suffering not only from bad television, but from the magnetic field in which this is occurring, and the magnetic field in ourselves which is accepting it. We are now gradually subject to bad habits. It is just as much by bad habits as alcoholism or narcotics. The great city is a monument to bad habits. It is bad in almost every sense because it is unnatural, it's unrealistic, and unnecessary. But we call it progress. And to us, progress means to get into more and more trouble more and more often. Until practically the trouble becomes continuous, then we know we are progressive. We are progressing in the wrong direction. We are progressing back to a disaster rather than forward to a success. Now, to fight this problem ourselves, we can only do certain things. And that, one of those things is to watch the harmony of the body and its functions. To realize that the body is an area of magnetic energy, and that this energy is subject to every kind of depletion that is possible to think of, and also that it is also the source of the progress of the person towards a better and fuller life. The main thing is that nature, in its own form, and as we received it in the beginning, is pleasant, right, purposeful, and according to the will of heaven and earth. Nature is forever a friend. It is always a source of growth and progress, and it is also an endless cause of beauty. But when we begin to misuse nature, then it gradually turns into a monster of unruly and horrible proportions. Nature abused becomes a source of tragedy for all concerned. And we have made no attempt to recognize that these difficulties lie in an invisible range that our physical perceptions cannot see. If we could see the natural corruption and disruption which we are causing, we would probably do something about it. But on the physical surface of things, we are aware only of trouble. And this trouble we do not trace to its real source. The trouble is always an enemy of some kind, but the enemy is usually ourselves. And this we do not want to accept because it interferes with what we term progress, which is to advantage the individual himself. He does not mind or care what happens to others as long as he has his own way. All this adds up to a very sad, invisible world that is getting into the same condition as the visible world. The only difference is that you cannot reform the invisible world by election. You cannot put new offices out there to run things. The only thing that will reform the invisible world is the correction of the mistake, to straighten out the corruption, and to return to the natural pattern which we were intended to live. Now, there's a lot of evidence accumulating about this. We are beginning to worry about it. We are beginning to realize that there is some relationship between this constantly increasing load of disaster and the personal disasters which we are causing every day. We are becoming aware that nations cannot have falling out without something else falling out. We cannot continue to explore the mysteries of nuclear fission, putting off one explosion after another, without this definitely, permanently scarring the invisible side of our own planet, a side which we do not think about, most people do not believe in. But something is happening which is gradually forcing us to recognize that there is some way in nature in which it can react to punish those that destroy its rules or impair its functions. And we are beginning to see this more and more clearly. Now, we are also told in the good book that when we are right, regardless of others, if we are right, there is a power that walks with us. If the individual is right, he will not be overturned or easily destroyed. The reason why he will continue and flourish when others do not is because this rightness is called in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, the armor of righteousness. The armor of righteousness is the magnetic field. It is that which defends us against not only the visible corruptions of nature, but the invisible oppressors which surround us in the world or the environment. But in order to get this protection, we have to begin to put our own personal lives into some kind of a natural pattern. We must begin to think beyond the very narrow horizon of a short financial career surrounded by oblivion. We have to realize that we have laws governing everything. Human relationships. Broken homes break laws. Broken lives break laws. Broken hearts break laws. And our own various doings and believings have a very powerful effect upon the continuity and survival of our human species, along with most of the other forms of nature which we are sadly burdening at this time. So if we start out, we can say to ourselves, if I wanted harmony, if I really wanted to be happy and pleasant, what would I do to get it? And what will I do? And it must be something that I can do without injuring others. If I injure anyone else trying to do it, I frustrate the whole pattern. Therefore, it is some way in which I can be happy without hurting anyone. I can be happy without stealing anything. I can be happy without corrupting anything. That happiness results from being able to enjoy the virtues of nature and life, which with which we were endowed and which were given to us as a divine birthright. We were put here to make a beautiful garden. Not only have we allowed it to go to weed, but we have gradually corrupted it until it is becoming almost uninhabitable. This we must know, or we will follow in the way of old and ancient peoples, as the Hindus say in one of their sacred books, the great Earth Mother has shaken many civilizations from our back. And unless we want something to happen of that kind, we've got to correct ourselves, because nature will not allow us to fail. Therefore, when it gets to a vital point, a major correction is necessary, which will not be pleasant any more than punishing a wayward child is pleasant, but has to be, for in the long run, life has to survive, man has to grow, and the world has to unfold its potentials. Anything that hampers this long enough and continuously intensifying will be met by nature with an appropriate disaster. So we have to think more or less of this. Now, the physical body with its magnetic field is a very interesting and complicated situation. Not only is this magnetic field the source of health, but it is also the continual fountain of restoration and improvement. The magnetic field is essential to the mental growth of the human being. It is essential to the social adjustments of humanity. And it is also very, very essential to the personal and group living of families and things of this nature. Most incompatibility is basically in the magnetic fields. And if this capacity is too great, if this incompatibility is too great, the magnetic fields will not permit the union to be fruitful, and they will have a childless home. Because with two magnetic fields in conflict, there cannot be a fertilization of the ovum. So that we have all kinds of factors to consider. But let's think for a moment how we could, each of us in our own way and with our own abilities, make things a little better. First of all, we can take disciplines. And disciplines come to us from almost all religions. And that is one of the reasons why religions have been in trouble so long. The disciplines are against our pleasures. The discipline in which we are told to do right is just too severe for us. We want to do what we feel like doing, and we will. And we rejoice in the fact that we've gotten away with it. We rejoice in the fact that we got what we wanted, even if it hurt someone else. But we got it, and therefore this is a success, and the rest is forgotten. But the part that is forgotten is the major part of the problem, because anything that is a success that is not lawful is a failure. Somewhere along the line, it is going to add up to disaster. The individual is not ruled by 10 commandments delivered from heaven. It is ruled by 10 commandments built into the very structure of the world in which we live. The laws of existence are all according to the laws of life. Everything that happens is either legal or illegal. There is no compromise. And wherever we are legal, we grow. Wherever we are illegal, something bad happens. So it becomes a very definite part of our need, of our life, of our purpose, and of our survival, that we begin to discipline our own lives. Now, one of the disciplines that we can prove to be helpful is the state of happiness. Happiness, to us, is to get what we want. Well, in nature it is to do what we should. The individual who wants to truly be happy must keep the rules of living. Otherwise, he may have a few days of glorious dissipation and then misery. It is perfectly proper to consider the fact that the person who is right will be happy. Now, to do that, he must cleanse his mind and his life from the causes of unhappiness and must get rid of the belief that his errors are the source of his happiness. He must begin to think back with nature into the rulerships of the various palaces of existence. So we have in our own personal lives the ability to clean house. And as we clean house, the magnetic field adjusts definitely. And if Dr. Kilner was still alive, he would be able to probably tell us pretty much how much house cleaning each one has accomplished. This house cleaning has nothing to do with talking, unless that talking is expressing an inner conviction. Growth is not a discussion of growing or an affirmation of growing. Growing is what it naturally is, the simple process of growing. And without the fact, there is nothing. So if we had in childhood, for instance, as many have, many difficulties which have scarred the life and may more or less damage the magnetic field, then our problem is to restore in every way possible the damage that has been done. We have, therefore, a complete science of medicine of character, medicine of correction of faults and health as a result of living well. Not living richly, but living normally. And having the willpower and the courage to accept what we do not understand. Now, in order to do this, we have to have some kind of a philosophy of life. The individual is not going to do right just because it hurts. He's not going to be right just because someone tells him he should be. He has to have some kind of basic idea behind it all. And as we advance in the sciences, the scientists themselves, to their great regret, are beginning to realize this. They begin to realize that they are not free agents to do what they please with natural forces and then be proud of each other and award medals for breaking natural laws. This is something that we have to finally discover, and science is beginning to notice this, just a little here and there, but it is growing. That science will never be science until it proves why we have to be right. And when that happens, then science will begin to be scientific. Up to that point, it is completely theoretical and very largely conflicting. But assuming that we are looking now for an answer, we can begin by realizing that peace is one of the most vital things that we can possibly experience. And peace is the one thing that we are afraid of. We are afraid that peace will interfere with profit. We are afraid that peace will interfere with ambition or with some of the inner motives of our own nature. But if we want to live and survive and to earn a better destiny than we have now, we must begin to cultivate the quietude of constructive peace. Peace is not a waving of the flag or a parade. Peace is quietude based upon the realization of the purpose of nature. It is the realization of what we should do and what we should be. Peace is freedom from illusion, from deceit, and from all the faults and fallacies of life. Peace is to be normal. When you're at peace, the heart works normally, unless it's wearily worn out. When you're at peace, the circulation improves. The digestion gets better. The faculties begin to restore some of their strength. And peace plus a normal, pleasant, simple way of life, and a way with thought is always to protect the normalcy, that we can not only have better health today, but we can have a greater expectancy for longevity. We do not really wear out the bodies. We let them rot out from indifference or from circumstances which we regard as inevitable. Well, a few circumstances probably are inevitable. But where they are inevitable and right, they are so judged by nature. But where they are not inevitable and are still perpetuated, then they become dangerous interferences with the function of life. If we took the physical pulse of man, we know that when it's too high or too slow, the health is not good. But the magnetic field also has a pulse rate. You can see it, it flickers. It is as though it is breathing in a great rhythm. It seems as though that it has its own tone. The Chinese call this tone the Great Kung, because it represents the rhythm of the infinite. And this is the rhythm that goes on forever. And those who can tune into this rhythm also have greater extent of power and life and a greater future in life to come. So this pulse of the nature, if it is disturbed in man, requires attention. If this pulse is disturbed, usually there is a disturbance factor, which is either an accumulative disease, or else it is too much wear and tear, or too much use of destructive foods or elements. Actually, the pulse of the Great Kung is the rhythm of nature. And this is the rhythm the sages find. This is where the old immortals gather in the mountains of the moon and sun to live together forever in wisdom and understanding. The mountain tops of the future are related in a wonderful way to an invisible scenery which we cannot see. It is a qualitative scenery, a scenery in which beauty is the great predominant factor. If we are not beautiful, the scenery changes. And the scenery is what we call looking to the future. The individual inside himself feels in some way his adjustment with the scenery of his own attitudes. And as these attitudes become destructive, the scenery becomes distorted. If there is a great anger in him, the scenery breaks into a volcanic eruption. Nature has symbolic equivalents for all of the intemperances of man. And nature, in the long run, causes these intolerances and these mistakes to descend upon the human being in physical and recognizable form. But in the beginning, they're all invisible. And as long as we can keep them invisible, because we do not tempt them into existence objectively, we are much better off. Now, how do we be happy when things are there as they are today? The first thing is, if we have a proper understanding of life, we realize that the things that happen to us are all part of growth. They are part of the lessons that we must learn. They are what the Rosicrucians call the abecedarian studies in the house of the Holy Spirit. Each of us has to win a certain amount of trouble, transform it, transmute it, redeem it, in order to grow. Now, at the moment, growth by means of improvement is not popular. Today, the idea is to avoid the pain but do not change the cause. This is ultimately impossible. Whatever we have caused will come upon us. Whatever we deserve will come too. Therefore, the beginning of our happiness is to deserve happiness. Now, to deserve happiness means a certain constant vigilance over ourselves. This was what they started the ancient system of yoga. For yoga was a discipline of the mind, a discipline of the life in which it became dedicated and devoted to principles that are unchanging. A philosophy of life is necessary to give us those principles, to make us realize the realities of life and the realities of understanding and existence. If we really believe in a God, if we really believe that the divine plan exists, if we really believe that this deity is benevolent and has as its primary intent the perfection of all that lives, then it is about time for each of us to go into partnership with this procedure and join in the process of self-improvement. We like to think perhaps that our sins await forgiveness, and that this forgiveness will wipe them away regardless of what we do, as long as we belong to the right denomination. But this is not actually true, and we all know it from experience. The narcotics addict comes to the same end whether he is an atheist or a theist, if he continues the habit. So the problem is to get at these things from a basic standpoint and improve ourselves. So we can start with being happy. Now, we have moments of happiness. Very few people are unhappy all the time. Sometimes happiness consists of not having anything to worry about, but no particular positive achievement. We just get along without too much concern. This may be considered satisfactory, but it is one of those things that will not last. Every once in a while, this neutral state will burst out into something else. So happiness really means the gradual transmutation, to term it in alchemy, of the base elements of human nature. All of our negative qualities will simply have to be transmuted. Now, this transmutation of these qualities is not difficult, although it becomes so if you insist on clinging to the mistakes. The transmutation of temperament is comparatively simple, because all of nature is on your side when you try to do it. But if you are tempted away from it by ulterior motives, it can be very difficult, lengthy, and for many cases almost impossible. But actually, in the daily life of living as we go, you can get up in the morning And you can say to yourself, this is another opportunity to grow. Or you can say to yourself, here's another mess. It all depends on you. It depends on your own attitude. If you look forward to the day as an opportunity to prove that you are bigger now than you were yesterday, in qualities and in attributes and in accomplishments,